This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
We're talking about the franchise tag today. That's on the boards, which is spilled into a lot of Patriots conversation today, which we will continue with. You can weigh in on the Charlie McAvoy news if you want, out at least a month. Some other things coming up as well this hour, a Red Sox minute for you, so all that's coming up. But real quick, just thinking about the, again, Bill Belichick with absolute power, no one really pushing back, and him not wanting to coach players that he doesn't like anymore. Which, you respect, you get to that point in your career, you don't want to work with people you don't want to work with. And if you have that sort of power, great, good for you. But how realistic is it that you're going to like all the guys that you coach? And at some point, does that hurt your team? Aren't you better off disliking a player who's good and can help you win?
Yes, because if it starts becoming that, then it's about you versus the team.
So this is spilled into just another thing where there was, we used to say about Bill that he never let anyone go that came back to haunt you. He never let anyone go that amounted to anything anywhere else. And that's not really holding true. What if they had a defensive line, and you know, I'm going to include players now that are still here because you've all drafted them or they were in your system. But you could have a defensive line right now of Chandler Jones, Akeem Hicks, and Malcolm Brown. No one mentions Akeem Hicks.
Oh, I think he regretted that one, too, you know, because the Bears ended up paying. They had some interest in him in that offseason, and the Bears gave him a ton of money.
No one realized. Akeem Hicks has almost never met. He went to Chicago.
He's a stud.
And is a real player.
He's a force, yeah. I saw him in one of the night games. I don't remember if it was Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, but he was a monster.
And no one ever mentions him. People forget he was here. But he's gone to Chicago and become a stud. Chandler Jones?
17 sacks last year.
17 sacks. Now, I know he's not getting him here because they just play defense differently, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing the Patriots for it. I'm just saying, you don't think you have a little more action coming off the edge with Chandler Jones still here? So, what if you still have Chandler Jones and Akeem Hicks with a nice young player you drafted in Malcolm Brown? Playing in front of Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower.
I didn't like the Collins deal from the day it happened.
Doesn't Collins being here playing next to Hightower change the whole outlook of that linebacker core?
Yep.
And I'm not sure exactly what he's done in Cleveland. I mean, they re-signed and gave him a bunch of money. It's hard to tell. It's such a dumpster fire there. But the guy can still run. He's still athletic. He can still play, I think.
No, he was a good player here. I don't know if he was a great player, but he was a good player
here.
He
was wildly overrated.
He was good, though. He was inconsistent, but he was good.
All I'm saying is, Jamie Collins or Kyle Van Noy?
Oh, no. Give me Collins over, you know, most of those bumps, if not all of them, at linebacker outside of Dante Hightower.
I mean, so again, but he's not here because he didn't play within the system, and Bill probably didn't like him.
Freelanced, I think is the term.
So it goes back to that thing.
No, he's not here because they didn't want to pay him.
So in the secondary, I mean, I know you got Revis, so you land on your feet fine the next year, but Tlaib left you and became one of the top three corners in the league. I mean, he probably was with you at the very end as well, but that fellow's been at the top of the league since he left here.
He was twice All-Pro in Denver, I think, or at least once in 2016.
Absolute stud.
Second team the other year, I think.
Hicks.
Again, I'd take him back in a second.
Hicks, absolute stud. Jamie Collins led the league with 17 sacks last year. Aqib Tlaib, one of the best corners in the league for 2-3 years running. You can throw Logan Ryan on there if you want. I mean, again, he had a rough year, and Tennessee was not all of that. But legit, I know, would you feel better right now with Logan Ryan coming back opposite Stephon Gilmore versus Eric Rowe or Jonathan Badamosi or Cyrus Jones or Jonathan Jones?
Yeah, solid pro. He can tackle.
You can feel better. That. I'm just saying, this whole thing about they don't let anyone go that does anything anymore ain't exactly true.
No, and the other thing is, again...
And all these questions we have on defense, the holes you have on defense, if you just kept what you had, you'd have a heck of a lot fewer questions.
And it's not always about what they do somewhere else. It's about what they did and what they would continue to do in your system. So, you know, it's this. Why do the Patriots always get credit when they take a guy out of someone else's system because he works with them, but they let someone go who works in their system and they get credit for that too? Like, it's like they can do no wrong, ever. I don't get the whole the logic of, you know, someone else went somewhere and did nothing. It doesn't matter. It worked here. If it worked here, it was worth keeping. And so this defense, I'm sorry, what they ended up with in the Super Bowl was a train wreck. That thing was a disaster. What Belichick did with that defense in the Super Bowl, what Patricia did with it. And if I'm Brady or someone like that, I'm pissed because he cost me a Super Bowl. That's how I would feel.
Okay, we're doing Patriots with your calls. Max in the truck, what do you got?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Can you guys see the Patriots signing Jimmy Graham with Rob Gronkowski looming retirement just for reassurance? And I got a quick other point. What is the Patriots doing picking up the Kenny Britt exercise? The guy is kind of a bum. Like, he was healthy, inactive, and...
So the Kenny Britt thing, let me just stop you. Is any money guaranteed?
That I can't speak to.
So I was just looking at his contract details here. His base is 105. It says here he gets a roster bonus.
What time? When?
Well, so that I don't know. It says about 370,000. Some of them are due at the beginning of the league year, right?
Okay, so
some of them are due later, so I don't know the date.
So to keep him, if it's a roster bonus next week of 300,000, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. It's 300,000. And if the rest of it's not guaranteed, which I suspect it's not, what's the diff? You cut him at any time. This is the whole thing. The whole reason the salary cap is nonsense. You can rip up the contracts and send them back in whenever you want. I don't care about Kenny Britt.
Okay, do you like the player?
No, I have no use for the player. But if it's not guaranteed, what's the diff?
Yeah, I mean, but you didn't like... The money on James Harrison wasn't big when they brought him in.
The roster goes to 90. Okay? The roster goes to 90. I mean, maybe I should feel the same way. I mean, I see what you're saying, Maz. I just don't like James Harrison around. Like, I just don't like looking at the guy.
Well, I feel the same way about this guy. What do you need him for? He's been arrested how many times?
Yeah,
seven?
I don't know.
I don't know. The other thing is, how many receivers do they have?
Kenny Britt's pit bull, who he named after his favorite tequila, did not maul his kid and his mother and his caregiver and then change the pit bull's name to save the pit bull. So that I got a bias against James Harrison.
So part of me, the reason I reacted the way I did when Murray said it is because I always wonder if there's another shoe to drop. Are they keeping Britt because Malcolm Mitchell's not viable anymore? Or are they keeping Britt because they're going to let Amendola go? They're not the same position exactly anyway. But you get the idea. Like, to me, why keep the guy if you don't really need him? Because they got plenty of receivers.
My answer is, if the money's not guaranteed, why not? Why not? There's no harm. You cut him whenever you want. Kyle and Waltham. Go ahead, Kyle, on the Pats.
I'm like, yeah. So on the draft, the quarterback that no one's talking about is Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. I really like how he throws the ball in the pocket and play action, but on the line, I thought Solder was trash last year, and with Marcus Cannon's injury, you have to try to get younger at that tackle position. I would draft, try to get Connor Williams from Texas.
Hey, don't give me tackle names. I'm not going to do that. I will not allow you to give me names of tackles coming out of the draft.
What's the most important thing with the offensive
line? Do that
line
on your own time and text Bedard.
Anywhere in the league, consistency. Solder brings you consistency. He got better as the year went on. He was a little rough early, but the guy's been in the system. You're the most important position on the line, protecting a 41-year-old quarterback. You have to pay Nate Solder.
How about the quarterback he mentioned?
I don't know enough about him.
So I've heard other people talk about him as a possible guy for the Patriots, too. He's another one. The kid at Washington State, Mason Rudolph, the kid at Richmond. Like, these are the names that are getting tossed around. Picking one over the other? I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. So I don't have a preference on the player. I can only tell you the kind of player it feels like they're going to end up with, which is a B level quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, I'm dug in. No quarterbacks for me. Do not waste any of these picks on a quarterback that won't matter for years, if at all, because you're invested now in Brady for the next 3 years.
I mean, again, it's another thing you look at here and say, on the one hand, they got to replace Garoppolo. On the other hand, they're so far deep in Brady. Just, this is all very unlike them to be sort of stuck in the middle like this and not have options and decisions made. Like you raised this earlier about Solder, and it's true. They are usually way ahead of the game on this. They should have had Nate Solder's replacement 2 years ago, for crying out loud.
Now they're stuck in a spot where they may have to pay him over $10 million a year just to keep a player who's good but not great because there's no alternative. They don't have any leverage in the situation, which, again, is very unlike them. Your phone calls. We continue with them, I promise, right after this.
Tugger Mez, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coach, I think we could do this for a couple hours. This is pretty good,
hey,
man.
Coach is awesome, man. He is awesome.
Dion, you do a great job. I love Mondays when you're here to do the DBs and you do the, you know, inside into the corners. And Mike does the safeties, and you know, you guys go back and forth. It's really it's great TV.
See, I think Belichick has always needed it. I just think now it's worse. That's what I think, which is typical. All of our qualities, as we get older, they get worse. They become more pronounced, and I think that's probably what's happening with him. Yes, I think, you know, he likes the idea of being in complete control, of having people around him that will just say yes. That's what he likes, and so now it's become, you know, an issue. I just think, because you know, ultimately it comes down to, if you want talented people, they're going to have their way of doing things. And you have to tolerate it.
So Tom Curran's fine column on NBCSportsBoston.com. Is Belichick listening to anyone anymore? And again, just the theme being, is it gotten to the point where Bill's desire to not coach anyone he doesn't like, has it gotten in the way of getting the right players on the field, whether it's Malcolm Butler, Jamie Collins, or Chandler Jones? And is there anyone on the staff to push back and say, Bill, that's the wrong idea? It's the whole premise of that column, and that's what we're discussing along with everything else here with the Patriots.
So let me ask you a quick question. Do you think this is coming from anywhere?
I don't want to put those words in Tom Curran's mouth. I would never do that, because he'll take me out back and slap me across the face.
So,
as I said earlier, Tom knows things, and it comes through in his writing. So I think Tom, with his columns, is an informed opinion maker on the Patriots.
Okay. So, like, because I see something like this, and again, it's not unprecedented. It happened in 2009, and I wonder if somebody down there above Belichick has not whispered in his ear he needs more pushback.
Do you think, so if you're asking me, are there people rumbling down there saying, is anyone going to tell Bill that was a bad idea? Yeah, I bet there is, because I think that feels that way from the outside.
I mean, it had to. At the Super Bowl, that thing was so obvious. Like, you had to put Butler in that game at some point.
Or Garoppolo. Bill, only a second? And Robert admitted he was taken back. Bill told him about the... Robert asked him to trade him. Okay? Robert ordered the trade, but even when Bill came back and said, this is the trade, Robert said, what? Really? I need to ask Jonathan about this. So, you don't think there was someone there to say, Bill, maybe you should call... Why don't you just check and see what Cleveland is willing to do? If for nothing else, to drive the price up back at San Francisco. Why don't we... So that to me is screaming for someone to just say, Bill... Let's just catch our breath here for a second. So that's one of the things we're talking about. Tim and Drake, what do you got on Belichick, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just I don't understand his like philosophy. You know, he doesn't want to give any of the days off, but he doesn't want to pay the guys either.
And then you're right. That's a tough ask, man. You know, if there's no days off, I can pay me.
Who wants to work for a guy like that?
It does. It feels like the worst of both worlds.
That's a great point.
You get no time off, and you get shafted on your paycheck.
Yeah, no days off and no pay increases either.
Can I get one or the other? Like, I'll take less money for more days off. Ray and Revere, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, guys, I've always felt that Belichick, while he's the greatest coach of his generation, is a mediocre GM at best. And few fans make that distinction, but it truly is a distinction. And you guys made the point perfectly. You can have enough talent on the field to beat the Eagles. And just 1 year earlier, you needed a huge play from your best player on defense, Hightower, to beat the Falcons. And they didn't have that playmaker on the field, and it's because Belichick just gave them away.
Okay, but Ray, you understand, though, but it's not a talent evaluation standpoint, because he had those players. He had the players. He knew they were talented. They're gone for reasons other than talent, money, or attitude, or likability, or things of that nature. So that's what...
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not just talent. He just has a suffer-no-fools attitude that I think is actually entering the coaching staff, too. And, guys, Kraft should have been the adult in the room. Letting Garoppolo go for a 40-something pick, the Kraft is really, he's got to get plugged back in. He needs to add some checks and balances to the system.
Well, see, that ain't...
Because he can't...
No, see, I think that's unfair to ask Robert Kraft to have that sort of check and balance on Bill in terms of... Wait, Robert Kraft at 76... And at the stage of his life where he's got other things going on, he's supposed to know exactly what the market is for Jimmy Garoppolo and what, you know, no.
No, you have to trust your coach with that decision.
Well, or, I mean, now look, if you're saying there's a precedent between Robert and Bill, or there's a strong personnel man between Robert and Bill, who says to Robert, you know, Robert, you know, Bill hasn't even really called around on this pick. We should really... You know, we can do better here. Then that's fine. I don't expect Robert Kraft at this stage. Now, maybe Jonathan, you can make a stronger case if he's there every day and really invested in it. Then maybe. But
how, on the one hand, can the owner intervene and tell him that he can't keep a player, but he can't intervene and tell him to get more for him? Or open him up to more, you know, open him up to more suitors.
Beggars can't be choosers. And don't you think that's how that all went down? Which is... Robert gives Bill the ultimatum, you know, you're not keeping Garoppolo. And then Bill comes back and says, fine, Robert, you told me you got second-round pick. You told me you got to get rid of him. And now what's Robert supposed to say? No, keep him? Like, don't you think that might have been part of Bill's play? Like, maybe I'll come with such a mediocre trade that they'll say, don't worry, never mind, let's just keep him. Like, could that,
right, they hear it and they're like, oh, that's all he's worth? Really?
Right. Could that have been why he didn't call around and try and maximize the value? He was actually trying to pull one on the craft, saying this is all we can get, so you know we should keep him?
I mean, I suppose the conversation could have existed, but if you're a craft and he says he's getting a second rounder for him, don't you think he would say, how many people did you call? Did you call everybody? Like, where are we sending him? And who else wanted him that you didn't, no one else offered you more?
Bottom line there was a breakdown. Whether there was someone to question Bill or challenge Bill or dig in themselves, I still remain, to me, that's my outrage, that they didn't answer the phone from any other team. They didn't talk to any other team to see what could have been out there, even to go back to San Francisco and up the price with them. Just unconscionable.
I mean, it feels to me like at the end of the day, you weigh all this out and Belichick's putting himself before the team.
Mitch in the car. Go ahead, Mitch.
In Bill, I trust. Did I just hear that right? Did I hear a caller say that Bill Belichick's a bad GM?
He said he said mediocre at best.
Mediocre at best. Okay. So go back to 2000, all of us. This guy in the salary cap era has won, 12, 13 AFC championships, been to 8 Super Bowls.
Hey, Mitch.
And has won 5.
Mitch, let me stop you.
A bad GM?
No, I don't agree. Yes, I didn't agree with him. He didn't say bad. He said mediocre, and I don't even think that's low. I think Bill's a good GM. He's a better coach, but he's a fine GM. And that's why I pointed out, he got Chandler Jones, he got Jamie Collins, he got Akeem Hicks, he got Akeem Tlaib, he got Lowen Ryan. He can still tell who can play and who can't play. These guys left for reasons other than just his pure talent evaluation, which is sort of another story. But no, he's a very good GM.
I mean, I would say very good is even being slight to him. Because think about, name me one NFL team, even a team that has had success at certain points in the last 30 years or in the salary cap era. What's happened to them even after 4 or 5 years of success? Most of them have went into the dumper.
Well,
yeah, how many of them had Brady?
Yeah, how many of them have the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills in their division, too? He didn't have a great year, that's fair to say, especially when you're giving up 2 draft picks for Cassius Marsh. I know they're late picks, but still, even that you thought that guy could play, like, what the hell are you thinking? And some of the money thrown around this year, Alan Branch, who's now also not going to be back, they've decided to not pick up his option, he's going to be a free agent. Well, you re-upped him last offseason, how'd that work out for you? It was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl.
It was like 2 years, $10 million? Didn't they give him, like, real money
It was a 2-year deal, you're right, let me look that up.
Coney Ealy, Dwayne Allen.
Philip Dorsett.
I mean, I think even the Brandon Cooks is borderline.
You know, some of those, at least at Brandon Cooks, they did get something. Now, listen, I'm anti the deal, too.
No, he's borderline. I mean, you know, was that a win or a loss? It's close. You could argue either side.
What did they get for Ealy and Allen?
Yeah, zero. Zero. But he's still a very good GM. I mean, he's a better coach. I mean, I think Bill, the coach, has made up for a lot of his GM mistakes. The GMing is harder. I mean, everyone misses at the draft. Like, I mean, and Bill, believe me, Bill's had his hot and cold spells, and we've pointed them all out. But no, the issue isn't Bill being able to determine who can play and who can't play. He can do that pretty well.
No, it's about getting past his own personal distaste for some of these guys and keeping them here.
And there's always a money thing, too, as well, you know, at play with a lot of these guys. If they had just kept all the guys that he brought, I don't think we'd be complaining about the defense today.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's really not much to, I think, sink our teeth into down in Fort Myers. Nothing. Very little.
J.D. Martinez is playing in his first game tomorrow. Woohoo!
Well, as you said before, there was an inter-squad game or some sort of session before, and J.D. Martinez hit a home run off Rick Porcello.
Right, doesn't count.
Mass says it doesn't count, except I said, well, it does count for Porcello.
Right, because he gave up 38 last year.
So this is the way you treat spring training. If it's good, it doesn't count. If it's bad, we get to talk about it.
Right. It doesn't count for J.D. Martinez because he hit it off of Rick Porcello.
But it counts for Rick Porcello. Exactly.
I like that.
All right. So is that? But a big storyline down there is how they're going really easy on the pitchers. The pitchers aren't pitching in games. They're not taking fielding practice. They're just throwing inter-squad things on side fields. All this to get them stronger at the end of the year. How do you feel about all that?
So look, I like the general idea of it because I told you, Sale fades. Price doesn't have a good history in October. Pomeranz looks like he's a guy that's relatively brittle. I saw this stat the other day, just quickly. Do you know how many guys in baseball last year reached 210 innings?
Like two.
Two is right. Two, exactly.
Yeah, Gammons wrote this.
Two. It was unbelievably low. And so if more innings are going to the relievers anyway, then make sure you guys are strong at the end of the year. I'm okay with that. Fine. That part of it, I believe in it. I think it's a good way to go, especially if you're one of those teams that you expect to be playing in October. You should manage it that way. But the fielding practice? They can't even do that? I mean, that's not exactly heavy lifting to begin with. Now, look, these are veteran guys. I don't think all of a sudden they're going to turn into Gold Glovers if they weren't by doing the fielding practice. But I think it sort of sends a bad message to the team a little bit that you're going so loose with these guys that it's throw a couple of bullpens and go home. That's it? You don't even have to be out there for the drills in the early part of camp with the other guys? Oh, I mean, why have them show up at all? Why don't you just go to their spring houses for the bullpen sessions?
Whatever makes them happy, right, Murray?
Got to work on that fun.
Yeah.
At least got to show up and get to know each other and, you know, kind of pal around a little bit. And then we can come back the next
time. Oh, it just feels to me like going too far. Like, it's one thing to ease up on the throwing program so they don't have to do anything else either. Nothing?
That's Red Sox thought number one. Here's Red Sox thought number two. Maz got very excited today when he saw his... Or this month's edition of Men's Health or Men's Journal?
I think it was Men's Fit. It might have been Men's Journal. Men's Fitness, one of those. Did you see the cover?
You showed it to me.
Okay, our Vinny Yard TV producer. You can put it up on the simulcast. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Giancarlo Stanton.
Men's Health.
Men's Health. Holding a bat behind his head.
Six-pack abs.
Shirtless. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if this guy had been in a Red Sox lineup? Seriously, I saw this picture and I went, oh, God. This is... They could have had this guy. They could have had this guy. And I know that Jack Wagon, Tony, and Stoneham sitting there, yeah, Maz, do you really think Jeter was going to trade him to the Red Sox? Yeah, I do, Tony. I do. I think if they had made the bet offer, you would have gotten Adonis here, hitting cleanup instead of JD Manboobs, who was jogging around the infield at his four-home run game. Take a good look at some of the video from that four-homer game of JD Martinez. Watch his breasts jiggle. Watch them. Jello breasts. Seriously, this guy, this is what the Red Sox needed, was this guy, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson in baseball form, Giancarlo Stanton ripped to the high heavens and hitting 800-foot homers at Fenway. This was the guy they needed. Tell me the Red Sox couldn't use a guy who's on the cover of Men's Health. With his six-pack abs, his bronze body, look at the man.
It's a little homoerotic, man. So
yeah.
I got to tell you.
Oh, my God, would you look at him?
He's in good shape. I'll give him that. He's even got what a friend of mine refers to as the CG abs. I can't say it on air. I'll tell you during the commercial break. But you know the V that goes
sure,
there?
Sure, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So there's a term that's
okay.
Hot in the streets.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he is godly, is what he is.
He looks better than Nomar did when he was on the Sports Illustrated cover. Right.
Except this guy's legit. 6'6",
well, wow. Do we know that?
Wait, so he's the natural one?
Well, Nomar was 5'10", and a bag of bones, as someone once wrote. This guy, I think this guy was heading to, like, college, he was heading to USC on a football scholarship before he got drafted.
Is that right?
Someone told me that, and that's why he slipped to the second round or whenever it was. Or, early second, late first, I don't remember. But otherwise, look at him. Look at that body.
There he is putting on the Yankee uniform, too, Maz.
I know. I find that sexier than the actual him being without the shirt, Murray, if you want to know the truth. Oh, my God, look at him. What a man.
Okay, so there's that. Back to your thoughts. Bob and Easton, our buddy. Hi, Bob.
I want to thank you before I go on my little rant here. Thank you for your negativity, your baseless, aimless negativity, because you managed to even offend my brother, my nitwit brother, Adam, from Brockton. He tells me he's so depressed he won't even call into the show. And by the way, Tony, Gabe Kapler was on the cover of Muscle Fitness. So what you were just saying there even proves more of a fraud you are. So pipe down on your baseball stuff. Like I said, you're now Tim Wakefield when it comes to baseball. You throw knuckleballs.
Hey, Bob, did Gabe Kapler hit the ball 500 feet like this guy does?
It doesn't matter. You're sitting there, you're drooling over because he looks.
It was pretty hot, Bob. You should see the pictures and then get back to me. What's your Belichick take?
I would oil that guy up if he wanted me to.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, you two, you're Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. You're the two old guys that yell crap from the balcony that make zero sense. And Murray, you could be Fozzie Bear. Did you get that, Hardy?
Yes, we got that. But Bob,
you're not funny.
Come on, what's your Belichick point? Go.
Here's my point, Felger. Calm down, will you? What I'm saying is, you guys are talking about Brady's demise, okay? And Maserati, it's like he's drooling that he can't wait till it's over, like the way he drools over Stanton. Let me ask you guys a question. You guys are comparing Marino and Elway, right, with their demise at the end of their career.
We didn't mention Marino.
No, it was Manning and Elway. Just give me your point, please.
My point is, what do you think the big difference is between Marino, Elway, Manning, whatever? You can't say Manning because he had injuries, and Brady and Breeze. What do you think the big difference is in why they probably could play another 2, 3, or 4 years?
Tell me what you think it is.
It's the league rules, you knuckleheads. This is why you guys don't know what you're talking about. The league protects these guys, so they can play longer.
Okay, I mean that is fair, except I think that trend has been in football now for a decade. You couldn't, I mean, all these headshots, roughing the quarterback with blows to the head have been around when Favre fell off the map at 40. The game wasn't appreciably different than it was when, again, Favre was 2010 was the year that he, I think 09 was the year.
Yeah, 09 was the year that he went off, that they went to the AFC Championship game. But 09, wasn't that also the year that Brady essentially called for the flag against the Ravens that drove Terrell Suggs nuts? That's like 10 years ago now.
Quarterbacks were being protected 10 years ago. If you want to go back to Montana's era, Bob, I think you have a better point. But in the last 10, look, I don't think Brady's done. I'm telling you, I think he's got 3 years. He better. I mean, that's my plan, the 3-year plan. I think he is fine for the next 3 years. You know, I'm done with that. I stopped predicting Brady's demise a while ago. He's fine for the next 3 years. He should be. He better be. My only point was that there have been a couple of guys who put up big numbers at 40 and great seasons at 40 and then fell off the map the next year. Favre was one, Warren Moon was one, and Peyton Manning, it was 38 to 39, not 40 to 41, so it's a little younger. But those were just examples that we used.
I mean,
Peyton Manning was protected. Don't act like Peyton Manning, played in some sort of different era. I mean, that's silly.
I would say overall, I'm willing to allow for the fact that the era has extended careers. Breeze is a good one. Breeze is a little guy on top of it. It's a good one, yes. But to what point? Like, all I'm saying is from a planning standpoint, and I understand that Garoppolo's no longer here and they backed themselves into a corner, so they better get 3 more years out of it. But I think I think that's a crazy way to plan. I do, because I don't think you can plan that a 41-year-old is going to play for 3 more years in that league.
Okay, back to your phones, and the NFL suffered a loss today. Just how big of a loss, we can debate.
Huge.
We'll do it right after this.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
And we will get the word now from Ed Hockley.
The runner's buttocks was down on the ground before the ball came loose. Therefore, it's Indianapolis ball on the 47-yard line. The clock should be reset to 13:22.
Well expressed by Ed.
He's one of a kind.
I forgot that one.
And we will get the word now from Ed Hockley.
The runner's buttocks was down on the ground before the ball came loose.
So maybe you've heard by now, Ed Hockley is retiring.
He is. It's the end of an era.
Ed Hockley.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
That's still my favorite. I love that one the best.
And you know who this is. This is the buff ref, the massive guns, and the guy who just won't shut up. And that has been his reputation in the league for 20 years. 20 years has been the same thing. Eddie Gunshow and just the pontific, the over litigious, over descriptive, just rambling of Ed Hockley on the mic.
With the score tied, and at the end of regulation, we'll go into overtime. There are special overtime rules in the playoffs. Both teams get an opportunity to possess the football with one exception. That one exception is that a touchdown always wins the game. So if the team that gets the opening kickoff scores a touchdown on their first possession, the game is over at that point.
However,
if the team that first gets the ball kicks a field goal, the other team will have an opportunity to possess the football, and then we are essentially in sudden death. If the first team that gets the football does not score, we will go into sudden death. The second team will then have the opportunity to possess the ball, and the first team to score, even if it's just by 3 points, will win. Timing rules as if we're starting a new game. We will use regular timing rules. And replay, all replay will be conducted from the booth. The coaches do not have challenges. New York, it's your call. What's your call?
Tails.
Tails. Tails is the call. Tails is the call. It is tails. New York has won the toss and wishes to receive. San Francisco is going to kick this direction. Good luck,
that
gentlemen.
Zach Diassi, you called tails. It was tails.
The living embodiment of the word verbose.
Oh, my God. That was just a
I don't even remember that, one. That's insane.
It was just to flip the coin.
Well, and that was edited. I'm telling you, that was edited. It was longer. So Jimmy, what you did, you hacked that a little bit, right?
Hacked it a lot. It was like 4 minutes long. My God.
That's insane.
So what do you want? He's a lawyer from Milwaukee. That's right.
To reverse and replay, there must be clear, uncontroverted evidence that the ruling on the field was wrong. In other words, you have to be certain. Here, the ruling on the field stands. It is a touchdown.
I love it.
That unsportsmanlike conduct.
Shut up! In other words, that's the one I love. What ref says, in other words,
he does.
That the ruling on the field was wrong. In other words.
In other words. It's wrong. You know when a referee says, in other words, you're in trouble. Because you shouldn't have to use other words.
What other referee ever does this? He's the only one, because the rest of them just come out and says, upon further review, the call in the field stands. Boom. That's it. Done. No. He's got to explain why.
In other words. There's never a reason as a referee to say in other words.
Foul on the prior play. My flag was being returned to me. It was tossed back to me, hit the ground. When that happened, the clock operator thought there was a penalty and stopped the clock. The clock should have continued to run. There should be 12 seconds taken off the clock. So it should be 1:24. Take the play clock down 12 seconds as well.
That's the best.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable with this guy. He does. He absolutely feels the need to describe the logic and the reason behind everything.
In other words.
That's a great one.
Strictly speaking.
And we've got our first penalty of the game. Champ Bailey with the coverage.
And not a very enthusiastic flag either. Yeah. Almost apologetic. Champ Bailey didn't get his head around on the play. I think it's the reason he got the flag.
Yes, there are penalties in the Pro Bowl. Pass interference. Defense number 24. The ball is placed at the 1 yard line. First down.
Even that. So, Ed Hockley, again, lawyer from Milwaukee. Let him be a model. A model to us all. 67 years old. You gotta respect the shape the man is in.
Oh, unbelievable shape.
Bill liked him, I think. If I have that right. If I don't, forgive me. But I thought Bill always liked him, and he's a good ref. He
loves the mic.
Oh, wow. And he made one very small, but one very important miscall in Patriots history. And it's a little story. It's a little thing. I love it. And it was important, but no one ever remembers it. And it's Ed Hockley's fault. And if you asked Bill Cowher, he would know about it. If you asked hardcore Steeler people, they'd know about it. Or if you asked Josh Miller, the Patriots punter, he'd know about it. But what I'm getting at is this. 2001 AFC title game at Pittsburgh. First year, the magical 0-1 year, you're at Pittsburgh for the AFC title game. Troy Brown's punt return for a touchdown came on a re-kick. Miller punted it out of the end zone, and he kicked it out of bounds. He kicked it out of bounds on the left hash. He kicked it out of bounds on the left sideline, which means the ball has to be reset on the left hash, except Ed lost track of where the original snap was from, and he put it in the middle of the field. And Josh will tell you that in the middle of the field, I was angling it left, but I couldn't get it there. He left it hanging over the middle of the field, and Troy Brown returned a middle return for a touchdown and sent you on the way to the AFC title game. So that's just a small. That's the Ed Hockley one I remember. He misplaced the ball following that first punt and really set the stage for Troy Brown's punt return for a touchdown in that game. But Ed Hockley, we give him so much grief and we mock him for his yammering and his explanations and all of it and his guns and his physique. He retires today and sends out a note on Twitter. Listen to this. To whom it may concern, football fans everywhere, and ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Many of you have known me as an official for the National Football League for the last 28 years, but I started refereeing football at the high school level in 1973, and that's when I first discovered my love of combining my favorite sport with my other favorite endeavor, explaining things in three long sentences that can really be explained in one short one. So it's been a long time of reffing and talking. And talking and reffing. So, after further review, I've decided to finally no longer get up every day and do what I do in order to put food on the table, keep a roof over my family, and keep doing what I love to do every day. In other words, I've decided to retire.
Yep, in other words.
That's great. So even playing off the, he explains in six sentences what he can say. In other words, I've decided to retire.
The man is self-aware.
He says, yeah,
appropriately crafted.
He says, now if you'll excuse me, I have to head to the gym. Make sure that my body remains the temple that it is, and of course, make sure the lactic acid buildup gets addressed by a vigorous regimen of stretching. In other words, I'm off to do curls.
In other words,
yours in retirement, Ed Hockley, Esquire.
Hey, good for him.
How great is that?
I you know, this does this make you like him even?
Yes.
I mean, as he goes out the door, like, okay, the guy gets it. He understood. He's a total blowhard up with the mic on.
But I shouldn't know this guy's name anyway, along with Jeff Triplett, who is also retiring today, who blinded Orlando Brown. That was him, right? Like 20 years ago, he threw that flag and blinded him. He had a bad game, that wild card game, the last one that he did between the Chiefs and Titans. But I know these guys' names because Ed Hockley, even though he wasn't that bad of a ref, had two tight T-shirts, big guns, and wouldn't shut the hell up. And Triplett's an idiot. I shouldn't know referees' names. You know, so like, while this is self-aware and kind of funny, this little missive he puts out, it's dumb that I even know the names of NFL
players. With the score tied, and at the end of regulation, we'll go into overtime. There are special overtime rules.
No. I can't do it again.
We can't give up that much time.
It's unbelievable.
Jeez, Joe Montana took the Niners down the field in the Super Bowl in less time than it took to announce that.
Foul on the prior play. My flag was being returned to me. Oh, it was tossed back to me, hit the ground. When that happened, the clock operator thought there was a penalty and stopped the clock. The clock should have continued to run. There should be 12 seconds taken off the clock, so it should be 1:24. Take the play clock down 12 seconds as well.
Unreal. All right, so that's Ed Hockley. Done. We'll miss you. Hour to go. All your calls, I promise. 617-779-0985. Right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials, the latest on Charlie McAvoy and the Patriots' new defensive coordinator.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.